gearing up for next week as it's supposed to get hot again, and just how interesting weather is and how you've created this earth to sustain us. And sometimes it seems like it is battling against us, and you know, sin has corrupted creation also, not just mankind. And we look forward to that day when there will be a new heaven and a new earth, and we can spend the rest of eternity with you. And so, Father, we want to lift you up this morning. May you be honored and glorified in the preaching of your word, in the music, in the teaching. Father, accept our praise and our worship this morning. And just thank you for the safe delivery of Durheim's new little one, and just pray for Julie. Just strengthen her and the rest of the family. Help them get enough sleep. And just praising you for that new little miracle. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so we're continuing, We're continuing our study in 1 Timothy. I went into the office on Friday and sat down and continued to work on my message and had no internet. And it's like, for a minute, I kind of went, now what do I do? It's amazing how you get very dependent on all the research and stuff you can do. And luckily, I had most of it done, so there's no cool background today because I didn't have my internet access, but yeah, I'm sure I can tell you're all really disappointed. So, luckily I have a paper Bible. You know, it's amazing that actually I have several of them. But so anyway, finished it up, and the internet never did work. So oh well, hopefully somebody will zap it and it'll start working next week. But looking still at 1 Timothy, and we're looking today at chapter 4. We're going to have it'll be a two-parter for chapter 4. Part 1, we're going to be looking at the answer to apostasy. And the answer, I'm just going to give you the answer right to begin with, truth and doctrine, God's Word. Jesus, when he stood before Pilate, was having this conversation with him. This is John 16, 37 through 38, Jesus standing before Pilate, and Pilate says to him, "So are you a king?" Jesus answered, "You say correctly that I am a king. For this I have been born, and for this I have come into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." And Pilate says to him, "What is truth?" Now you have to kind of place yourself into that culture, because a lot of Greek, you know, philosophy and the Romans and all the pagan worship and all this stuff is going on in the culture. Pilate's, what is truth? Really, what's truth? Well, Jesus answered that in John 14:6, because Jesus told his disciples and all the world, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." Jesus was the truth. It says in John 1, he is the Word. The Word. He is God. He is the truth. And we now have God's Word in written form that is the truth. I was reading, I forgot to grab that book. Oh, well. I was reading one of the resources I had this week, and Chuck Swindoll had been approached by a guy after the service, and the guy walks up to him and says, "I'm really struggling with what the truth is." And he was carrying his Bible, and he says, "It's right there in your hand. Between those pages is the absolute truth. It's the truth of God." And so that's what we fight apostasy with. Jesus predicted apostasy. Matthew 24:4, Jesus again speaking to the crowd and to his disciples, and he says, "See to it that no one misleads you. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will mislead many. You will be hearing of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not frightened, for those things must take place, but that is not yet the end. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and in various places there will be famines and earthquakes. Sounds kind of familiar, doesn't it? But all these things are merely the beginning of birth pangs. Then they will deliver you to tribulation and will kill you, and you will be hated by all nations because of my name. At that time, many will fall away and will betray one another and hate one another. Many false prophets will arise and will mislead many. So Jesus is telling us ahead of time, know it's coming. Know that it's going to happen. And it happened immediately. And that's kind of what we're looking at today in 1 Timothy is Paul encouraging Timothy to fight against this false prophets and the apostasy and people that were going after other things. And then Paul predicted it also in Acts as he's talking and teaching. He says, this is Acts 20, 29 through 30. He says, I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves, men will arise, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after them. So Paul is warning that it's coming. Let's look at our passage here today specifically that we're looking at. 1 Timothy 4, we're looking at 1 through 6. 1 Timothy 4, 1 through 6. Paul speaking says, but the Spirit explicitly says that in later times some will fall away, that's the term apostasy, will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons, by means of the hypocrisy of liars seared in their own conscience as with a branding iron, men who forbid marriage and advocate abstaining from foods which God has created to be gratefully shared in by all those who believe and know the truth. For everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with gratitude. For it is sanctified by means of the word of God and prayer. In pointing out these things to the brethren, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, constantly nourished on the words of the faith and of the sound doctrine which you have been following. So Paul is encouraging Timothy that this is going to happen, this is coming, and here's what you do. So let's look at the nature of apostasy, or this falling away. So what are some of its characteristics? Well, one of them is that it's very subtle. It's not always blatant. The enemy is very crafty. The enemy is very smart. They're talking here, one of the parts in here that they're talking about is this idea of forbidding marriage and abstaining from food. And yet, what God says is, what I've created is good. In Genesis 9:3, says, every moving thing that is alive shall be for you. I give all to you as I gave the green plant. The picture that Peter got of the sheet that was coming down with all the animals in it. He was hungry and he had this vision, and God shows him this vision of all these animals, and he looks in there and goes, well, wait a minute. I'm a good Jewish boy. There's some things in there I'm not supposed to eat. And God says, that has changed. What I have created, what I'm telling you is, you can eat of these things. It will not corrupt you. One of the other things that the characteristic of apostasy is that it's desirable. It appeals to the flesh. It's amazing that as I was looking at this week, you know, one of the passages that we're going to look at is Genesis 3, in the garden. This is not new. This is not new. This has been happening for a long time in the same way. Almost always even uses the same words. In Genesis 3:6, as the serpent is talking to Eve, excuse me, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, she saw that it was good for food, and it was a delight to the eyes, and the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from the fruit and ate. It's desirable. It's pleasing. But I'm also reminded of what Moses said when he came out of living in Pharaoh's household. He said, I don't want to just live in sin for a season because that's just some joy. I want to follow after God. And that's the true joy, and that's the joy that will last. It's so easy for us human beings to get off track and go, oh, wow, that's really cool, or, ooh, I like that, or that's pleasing. It's deceptive. Romans 16:17. Paul again speaking to the church in Rome. Now I urge you, brethren, keep your eye on those who cause dissensions and hindrances contrary to the teaching which you learned, and turn away from them. For such men are slaves not of our Lord Jesus Christ, but of their own appetites. And by their smooth and flattering speech, they deceive the hearts of the unsuspected. Another thing that we need to remember is in this time, in this first century church, they didn't have a Bible like we do. So everything that they were going on was the teaching of the apostles. So having to remember what they taught, and then having people like Timothy and other elders that were placed in the church that continues to remind them, here's what the apostles taught. Here's what the apostles taught. Now, they had some Old Testament scripture, which they could still use. You know, so there should be no excuse for us when we can pull out God's word and we can read what the truth is. And when someone is saying something, we can go to God's word and say, does that line up with God's word or does it not? It's a lie from the enemy. See this in Genesis 3, 1 through 6. The serpent speaking to Eve, it says, now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, indeed, has God said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden? Really? Is that really what God said? And the woman says to the serpent, well, from the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat, but the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it or touch it, which is not what God said. Or you will die. The serpent says to the woman, oh, really? Surely you won't die? For God knows that in the day that you eat it, your eyes will be open and you will be made like God, knowing good and evil. Awesome, great. That's desirable, right? When the woman saw that the tree was good for food and it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from it and ate, and she gave to her husband who was with her. It's the same lie that's been perpetrated from the beginning. Working on those desires that are within us, that human nature, that sin nature, trying to get us to question God. Oh, was that really what God said? Well, that doesn't sound like God because he's really good and he wants you to be happy, right? So that can't possibly be what God wants you to do. And we go to God's word and see, nope, that is what I'm supposed to do. That is how I'm supposed to live my life. It talks about hypocrisy. And this comes from the idea that there were people in the church who were living one way and saying something else. They were pretending. John, 1 John 2, 18 through 19, John speaking to, he calls them his children. It's the last hour. And just as you heard that Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have appeared. From this we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not really of us. For they had been of us, for if they had been of us, they would have remained with us. But when they went out, so that it would be shown that they all are not of us. Literally, people within the church that are spreading heresy, that are false prophets, that are trying to distort God's word. It says they were marked like with a branding iron. And you think about, you know, something gets branded, so that spot, basically it kills the nerves, it puts a mark on it. And it's that idea of those who are, it says it's they're seared in their conscience as with a branding iron. They're deadened to what God truly wants. They're deadened to the truth. It's error. At the time, there was this, the Gnosticism was going to come a little bit later, but this idea was starting to develop. Because remember, in Ephesus, really, Ephesus was like this major hub of philosophies and religions and all this stuff that was going on. And so there was always this constant fight against other ideas. And this idea of, you know, don't eat this, don't be married, that was this asceticism to keep things from yourself. And it was going around in Ephesus. And so they're struggling against this. And so the error that comes undermines biblical truth. Colossians 2:20 through 23, again, Paul speaking to the Colossians, if you have died with Christ to the elementary principles of the world, why, as if you were living in the world, do you submit yourself to decrees such as do not handle, do not taste, do not touch, which all refer to things destined to perish with use, in accordance with the commandments and the teachings of men. If you're following Christ, why are you going back to this stuff? Why are you following after something else? These are matters which have, to be sure, the appearance of wisdom in self-made religion and self-abasement and severe treatment of the body, but are of no value against fleshly indulgence. And that was this idea that was being kind of bantied about by people who didn't understand the truth. The error enables the teacher's sinful behavior. So those who are propagating the lie, there's usually some sinful behavior in their life that they're trying to justify. And it leads others to sin. It leads others to sin. You know, all you have to do is watch the news or pull out the newspaper and just see what's going on in our world. And those things that are blatantly against the truth of God. I mean, it's happening. And it's not new. It's not new. But it will continue to get worse and to get worse, and to get worse. Hopefully, all of you have read the end of the story. You know who wins? God wins. And along with Him, we win. We will overcome. Now, there may be some really hard things we have to go through in the meantime, but we need to continue to keep our eyes on our hope and our future. (Clears throat) There's a prosperity theology that's out there that's been spread over years. The health and wealth kind of doctrine. You know, if you have faith, if you're following God the way that you should, then you'll be healthy and wealthy, right? Man, I know some really committed Christians that have health issues. What, you know? And when I look at Scripture, I don't see it telling me that that's what truth is. It says, in fact, we read some this morning, don't be surprised when people come after you and you're tortured and killed. And another one is cult theology. In fact, Aylor and I were just talking this week, and he had someone come visit him, and I'd never really heard of this before, but then once I read it, it was kind of what this guy was talking about. And cult theology is, well, you don't really understand who Jesus was. And so then they offer an alternative to, well, here's who Jesus really was. Jesus was God. He's our Savior. He literally died on that cross for us. And he rose again to show the power that God had to save us. That's who Jesus is. That's what God's Word says. And then there's popular theology. And probably the best propagator of popular theology is Oprah. You know, when Oprah was on, I made a point to watch it because I wanted to know what society thinks. And that really is what society thinks. You know, the bulk of society, they buy into that popular theology. You know, what's the newest best-selling book out there? You know, that's telling us how to live our lives and has some kind of, you know, maybe a little bit of religiosity in it, you know. But it doesn't line up with God's Word. And if it doesn't, you need to get rid of it. Don't be reading that stuff. It's so easy to get caught up in other things. So how do we defeat apostasy? By pointing it out. By pointing it out. Ephesians 5:11 says, "Do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. We're to speak the truth with grace and love, but speak the truth." You point out the counterfeit by showing them the real thing. I've said this before as an illustration. When they're teaching people how to recognize counterfeit bills, they don't show them the counterfeits. They show them the real thing, that they study the real thing. So that when a counterfeit comes along, it's like that. It's like, whoa, wait a minute, something's wrong there. Has anybody noticed the Sasquatch sign at the hardware store? It changed. I drove by one day and I went, something's different. And I was talking to Henry this morning because Henry did it. And he's like, yeah, he changed the look of it. And I couldn't think of what it was. I mean, I knew what it looked like before, and I drove by and went, something's different. And that's the same idea of recognizing the counterfeit. That if you know the truth, if you know the real thing, if you know God's Word, when the counterfeit comes, you're going, something doesn't line up here. Something's not quite right. And we're to stick to sound doctrine, to stand on God's Word. The Bible is 100% authentic, reliable information from God to us. God's Word. It has stood the test of time. So how do we take this and apply these things? The first thing that we need to remember is it's going to happen. In fact, it is happening. And so that we shouldn't be caught off guard even if it happens inside the church. Because the enemy is very crafty and very subtle. And we are in the last days. Basically, the definition of the last days is from the time that Jesus left till he comes back again. Those are the last days, which are a lot of days. But those are the last days, because you look at it, from the time he left until now, some of this stuff I've read about, it's been happening. I mean, the wars and the earthquakes and rumors of war, I mean, it's happened forever. But we're going to be seeing a culmination, because I think we already are. Things are getting worse. Things are getting worse. You know, we as believers in Jesus Christ are more and more and more being looked down on and being thought of as narrow-minded and egotistical and unloving, and it's getting worse. The enemy's good at his job. He's been doing it for thousands of years, and he's good at it. He understands human nature. He knows what buttons to push and when to push them. He's the father of lies. And false teachers are very persuasive. Again, they know the right words to say. They have the right look. They do the right things. And the sad thing is, we as human beings are always looking for an easier way. Right? I mean, it's human nature. It's like, really, do I have to do that? I would rather do this. Oh, okay, well, go ahead. You can do that. That's fine. The false teachers are good. They're very persuasive. We need to constantly proclaim the truth, showing every disparity between the apostasy or the false teaching and God's word. And we can only do that if we know God's word. So when the false teaching comes, our argument is, this is what God's word says. Because you're probably not going to argue them into believing something different. You just have to go back to, this is the truth. This is the truth. And keep pointing out the truth. And the truth will show what the falsehood is. So next week, we'll be continuing on in 1 Timothy 4. We'll go into the second part and looking at the answer to apostasy, part 2. And that's going to be dealing a lot with just how we as believers in Jesus live our lives. Before we close here, Chris has got a presentation here, something with compassion. She'll kind of explain what it is, and then there's a little video that goes with it, and then I'll do some announcements to close.
Thanks,
sure. Thanks for standing up and reminding me.
Well, as Kevin said, I'm Chris Schuler. As many of you know, I'm an advocate with Compassion International. And I've talked to you before about the great work that Compassion does to release children from poverty in Jesus' name. And I wanted to introduce you to a new event that Compassion is doing. It's called Walk with Compassion, and we're having an event in Spokane on September 17th. And here's a little video that'll kind of explain a little bit more about it, and then I'll talk a little bit at the end. It's very short, so you'll get out of here, trust me.
The statistics about extreme poverty are overwhelming. And until you experience it firsthand, it's hard to understand what that kind of poverty is really like. But what if you could really understand? And then do something about it? Compassion International is releasing children from poverty in Jesus' name all over the world. And today, Compassion has created a new opportunity for you, your family, and your community to do something about poverty. And they're bringing it to your city.
We really felt the strong need to be able to engage families, to give something back to them. Well, what better way than to create a community event that starts with really engaging your family?
Walk with Compassion is a way for you and your family to put your love into action by fundraising for children struggling to survive amidst unimaginable poverty.
You're able to get an understanding of the different challenges that face people who are living in poverty.
We're looking to get out of this a big perspective check about how blessed we've been and how we can be a blessing, hopefully, to others around the world.
They can go, register, create a team, and actually create a fundraising goal.
We really could make a massive difference.
My mom even went to her coworkers at work, just asked for $10, and before the end of the day, she had $100. Put it in small increments like that, it can really add up quickly.
On the day of the walk, people from all over your community come together to celebrate the impact you have all made toward ending child poverty. The actual walk is a hands-on community event designed to help participants understand poverty and also the hope that is possible when we come together to take a stand.
It was very interactive, kind of gave you a sense of the space that they live in.
The hands-on nature of the event was fantastic.
I think this is good for our community because it makes a difference for eternity.
Such a good journey for our family to go on. God has blessed us so much, and we just need to be grateful and to continue to try to provide hope for these children and their families.
Get your family, your community, and your church involved in taking a stand to end child poverty. Tell your neighbors, tell your friends. Sign up today to Walk with Compassion.
I told you it was short. So basically, it's a great opportunity for everyone to get involved. You can go and do a walk. It's going to be at Audubon Park on Saturday, September 17th. And I'm coming to you because I need your help. I'm co-chair of the committee that's organizing the event, and I need your help to sign up and come and join us at the walk. You can do fundraising. The way you sign up is go to walkwithcompassion.com. And you register, and then you can do your fundraising from the page and everything, or you can join my team. It's called Nine Milers. And we just love to have your involvement as well. If you don't want to walk yourself, but you still want to support it, you can support me on that web page. But I need help on the committee. If anyone would like to join our committee, it's a great opportunity to get involved. And you know, anything you can do to help me would be wonderful. And just get the word out. It's a great opportunity. I don't have any flyers today because we just got confirmation on the park. So as soon as I get some flyers, I'll have them at church and you can grab them if you want specific information. But just mark your calendar, September 17th. It usually registration's at 8:30 and the walk's from 9:30 to 11:30. So if you have any questions, I'll be around or you can call me at home. Thank you very much for your attention.
Monies to sign up. It's just an opportunity for you to raise funds. So you can just ask your friends and family to support you on the walk. It's kind of like the walk for Alzheimer's and the different, you know, walks that they have throughout the area. Okay? Thank you.
Thanks, Chris. All right. I want to go through just a few things here in the bulletin. We're already late and you're going to be later. I'm just going to tell you. So. So the summer service schedule starts next Sunday. So we'll have one service at 9 o'clock, and that'll be through September 11th. So just be aware of that. All of you here won't have an issue with that because you're all here at 9 o'clock, so not a problem. Camp for kids is you can still register for that. And there's also need for cabin leaders. It's a pretty awesome experience. I mean, adults can do it. Doesn't have to be young people, it can be older people, but it's pretty amazing just to see what God can do in a camp environment. And then VBS is coming up, they still need volunteers for that. There's information in the bulletin on that. And then we're doing our backpack giveaway again this year too, so if you want to participate with that, there's information in there about that. Now, Some of you may have noticed something out in the foyer. Oh, brother. Okay. Really excited about what's going to be transpiring here. We have our offices in a 1972 double-wide mobile home, and we bought it used, and it's very tired. And so the elder board asked a team of people to look at what we might do. You know, so we've got the office. What can we do with it? And looked at several things, and the proposal that came back was to add on 24 feet straight that way. And that would put the offices in this building. It will increase the size of our foyer. It will also increase the size of our fellowship hall downstairs considerably. And so, yes? For potlucks. You could be closer to the food, right? And so we're looking at moving ahead on this. We're going to be having a couple of meetings where we can talk more about it. This is just kind of the teaser. And you can look at the plan out there. You know, that's our first kind of first draft plan. So you can kind of see what it's going to be. But we'll be having a meeting on Sunday right after church, July 17th, and then that next Thursday in the evening. And they'll be the same meeting. It's just we want to give everybody an opportunity to be able to come and kind of hear what's going on and be able to ask questions. So, you know, please be in prayer about that because it's, you know, it's going to cost us a couple $100,000 at least. We've got $187,000 right now in the building fund. So, you know, we've been kind of working on that for years, and now we're ready to kind of bust out and do something. So that's going to give us some more classroom space. So I'm excited about it. I just really feel like this is what God wants us to do at this time. So again, like I asked, please be praying with us about it. Support us in it. Again, we need financial support. You know, this will be over and above what you would normally give because we don't want that giving to go down to have the building giving go up. So it's over and above. So again, meetings will be coming. There will be more information, and you can talk to elders, deacons, pastors if you just kind of want a little bit more information. But there's going to be those meetings coming where we're going to kind of really fill in the blanks and you can ask questions. So thanks for coming and worshiping with us this morning. God bless you. Have a great week.